You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, A New Beginning. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
No one will ever know the pain and the lonely days in my life. I feel like I am dying every second. This confession was made by a 22-year-old lady from London, England, who had just been released from prison. She wanted so badly to make a new start in life, but she felt so helpless. It seemed like everyone and everything was against her. Even the neighbor lady in town, where this young lady had grown up, said, "She better not come back here. People will never forget what she did. They will never forgive her." Most of us have probably not spent time in prison, and yet past mistakes or bad judgments often haunt us. Our conscience has a way of reminding us of things we would like to forget. But even if family members and friends don't know our mistakes, we are sure that God does. And maybe you are one of those many people today who wonders and worries, "I know other people don't know what I did, but I am worried about what God thinks of me. I wish I could forget my past. I wish I could start over." One of the most famous politicians in the United States on a television talk show openly confessed, "If I could live my life over," he said, "I would do things differently." You and I may not be as famous as this politician, but many of us know what it is like to live in remorse and to shoulder the endless burden of private guilt and lingering regret. Consequently, each time we face the future, and especially at the beginning of a new year, we need to hear God's words of mercy and His words of forgiveness in Jesus Christ as it is recorded in the Bible. The Apostle John writes, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." This means for you, my friend, that if you confess your sins to God, He promises to be faithful and He will forgive you all of your sins. The psalmist David also reminds us that God pardons all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Having heard the joy of the good news recorded in the Old Testament, listen now to the Apostle Paul as he reaffirms to your heart that in Christ you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses according to the riches of God's grace. Oh, how thankful you and I can be, especially as we close the year of 1997 and as we open 1998, that we have a God who wipes out our transgressions for His own sake and a God who will remember our sins no more. You and I are not forgiven because God winks at our failures. Forgiveness is possible for you and me because Jesus Christ died a bloody and innocent death on the cross to pay completely for all our sins. You see, God is neither wishy-washy nor arbitrary. God indeed hates sin. And He also did something to save you and me from the curse of our sin. Isaiah the prophet explains that God saw the suffering of His Son on the cross, and His wrath and His anger for our sin was then satisfied. That's the way the Bible explains it. This is the good news that you need to build a new life as you face 1998. God forgives all who come to Him in sincere repentance and all who place their faith in the saving power of Jesus. Again, we rejoice with the psalmist who says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Outside of Christ, there is no hope for salvation. In Jesus Christ, however, God makes no demands that you pay for your sins. In His mercy, God simply asks that you come to Him in humble repentance, confess your sins, and trust completely in the saving power of His Son Jesus. And so then, as you face 1998, unburden your heart by confessing your sins to your merciful Heavenly Father. Then put on Christ. Yes, put on Christ and begin a new life with a new slate. Always remember that the devil is like a lion. He is prowling around looking for somebody to destroy through temptation. The devil will do his best indeed to cause you to stumble, but don't fear him. But instead, fix your faith on the most famous story of forgiveness for failure. This is the mercy that Jesus showed so powerfully to Peter. This took place when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and yet Jesus never denied Peter even once the opportunity to return to his Lord. For roughly 3 years, Peter and the disciples had followed Jesus. They listened to his teachings, they witnessed his miracles, and they loved him dearly. Then on that confused evening prior to his crucifixion, Jesus spoke intimately to his disciples. "You will all fall away," he told them. Peter, however, didn't like what Jesus had said. He objected immediately and vehemently. "Even though all the others may fall away," Peter said, "I will never fall away." Then Jesus told Peter, "Truly I say to you, that this very night before a cock crows, you shall deny me 3 times. Peter remained unconvinced. He insisted with Jesus, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Then the Bible says, all the disciples said the same thing. Now let's be honest. Doesn't this arrogance of Peter remind you of how spiritually strong and inexpendable and invincible you and I so often think we are? Without a doubt, we may be very sincere in our desire to follow Christ. However, when the devil, the prince of darkness, comes to us, he often succeeds in causing us to stumble and to fall shamefully. This is also what happened to proud Peter. A few hours after he boasted that he would never deny Jesus, he then followed his Savior and the other disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. There Jesus was arrested. He was quickly put on trial. Jesus, however, was not the only one about to be tested. Peter was also forced to declare whether he was for Christ or against him. Let me describe these difficult circumstances in which Peter found himself, and then as you consider the situation, ask yourself, what would you have done? And what will you do in 1998 if you are asked to identify with Christ and to stand up for Christ, especially when it might not be the popular thing to do? For Peter, you see, the circumstances were especially difficult. Consider the situation. Jesus was arrested and taken before Caiaphas, but Peter could not go with his Lord. He had to wait outside. This is also where the devil hit Peter head on, as we sometimes say. As Peter was sitting outside, the Bible tells us, in the courtyard not far from Jesus, a servant girl came to Peter and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." Peter, the Bible explains, did not like this. So, in front of a number of people, Peter denied any association whatsoever with Jesus. "I do not know what you are talking about," Peter said. Then Peter went out to the porch, where another servant girl saw him. She also said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied knowing Jesus, and with an oath he said, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then Peter began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed, and Peter remembered the words which Jesus had said, "Before a cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Then the Bible says, Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Now, at this point in the Bible story, it is a good time for you and me to stop for reflection and contemplation. Was Peter all that unusual? I think we need to ask that question. And the answer is, I don't think so. Do you? It is not unusual for children to hear their friends blaspheme God and the name of Christ, and yet they say nothing. Or as an adult, who has not heard a friend or a neighbor or an associate at work use not only profanity, but even include Jesus Christ in his or her expression of cursing? This always is, of course, very terrible. And yet, by refusing to stand up for Christ, we also deny Christ just like Peter did. And who has not attended a sports event or a musical performance or a cinema and spent money freely for the tickets and the refreshments, but then on Sunday reluctantly placed $1 bill or 2 in the collection plate for the work of the Lord? in a sense, by spending freely for the things of this world, and yet giving so reluctantly for the church and his mission, we are denying Christ. However, just as Christ gave Peter hope, he is also offering hope to you and to me for 1998. Remember the moment the cock crowed and, like a lightning bolt, Peter was reminded of his sin, of denying the Lord? He had had such good intentions, but he failed so miserably. His resolution, like a New Year's resolution, never to deny Christ, was so sincere, and yet he failed. 3 times he failed. At this point, one might expect Jesus to disqualify Peter from any further relationship. But Jesus did not do this. Jesus took Peter back. Jesus never eliminates repentant sinners. Instead, Jesus has compassion on people. Those who stumble and fall, he accepts them back, he forgives them, he heals them, and he gives them a new start and a new direction. And so then, as you look toward 1998, keep this story of Peter's failure and Jesus' forgiveness constantly in mind. Of course, maybe you have not committed a terrible sin, at least in your mind. However, if you examine your life, you know in the privacy of your heart that you have not always been the person that God expects you to be. For example, when it comes to listening to God's word, maybe you are like a rebellious teenager. You don't outright hate God's word. You just simply tune it out. God's will and word are not all that interesting. They are really not all that important for your life. Nevertheless, you say you are a believer, but you don't go to church. Or if you do go to church, you don't go to Bible class. Every time we refuse the opportunity to hear or study God's word regularly, and when we don't take time to pray, we are then denying Christ, just like Peter did. Of course, you and I can make a New Year's resolution to improve our life on our own, however, and without the power of God, you and I will continue to fail and to fail and to fail, just like Peter did. Don't trust in yourself. Don't arrogantly say, I will never stumble, I will never fail. Instead, by the power of God, resolve to live a new life in Christ. And in so doing, you will please God by believing in His Son. And by trusting in Jesus, you will always have Him at your side to pick you up when you fail, just like Peter did. And so then, as you face the new year, my prayer for you is found in the simple words of St. Paul spoken to the Ephesian Christians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, especially in 1998, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that in 1998 you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.